Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Just thank Him for His presence, that He is here with us. You can feel His presence. You can feel it tonight, just like we felt it yesterday. Thank you, Lord, for Your presence, because things happen in the presence of the Lord that they would not happen any other place except in the presence of the Lord. Father, we thank You for the sweetness of Your presence, Father God. I love the song, "You Won't Leave Here Like You Came," in Jesus' name. That is so, so true, such wonderful. I actually think our worship seems to get better and better every single service. I kid you not. That's exactly how I feel, how I sense it, that the power of God, sometimes it comes sweet, sometimes it comes strong, but He comes. He comes because He's invited to come. God is so good. He's so faithful. Quick testimony. I forgot to even tell Dave this, but the other night when we were out on date night and we go to eat and then, you know, we usually walk the mall or something, when I went in a store and I went to check out, I met up with a girl that was checking me out, and her name was a miracle, and it was A-M-I-R-A-C-A-L, a miracle. And I said, "Is your name is a miracle?" And I said, "Tell me the story." And immediately she told me, she said, "I was over 10 pounds at birth and I almost didn't survive. And my mom wanted to honor God and gave me the name A Miracle." She just spelled it a little differently, but it was clear on her name tag. And she said, because she knew that everywhere I went when I said that, people would ask me. So she told me the story. So I thought it was kind of a very cool thing. You know, literally name your child A Miracle. That's pretty cool. So many things, the presence of God. God is moving all over the place. And tonight, we're actually going to begin a new 12 to 14 week study on the life of Moses. And you know, we just studied Joseph as a type of Christ. He was a type of Christ, a foreshadow of Christ, as the Christ who protects us, redeems us, provides for us, restores us, forgives us, and vindicates us of all wrongs committed against us. That's Joseph. Tonight, we begin our study of Moses, is also another type of Christ, as Christ our deliverer. I am going to begin tonight, as I did with Joseph. There were things with Joseph that were parallel to Jesus, okay? And we're going to begin with Moses tonight. I think you're going to find some of them kind of interesting. I don't know if you have pen and paper, whatever you want to do, handle this. But I'm going to read through them. If you want a copy of these later, I can give them to you. Number one, both had kings who tried to kill them. An evil king named Pharaoh tried to kill Moses, the deliverer of God's people, and an evil king called Herod tried to kill Jesus, the deliverer of all God's people. Number two, Moses hid him and was wise. God saved Moses for a purpose, the purpose of delivering others and leading them into the promised land. With Jesus, an angel came to Joseph to take Jesus away and hide him because he was in danger as a child also of being killed by King Herod. God had plans for Christ also, like Moses, that he would deliver us and lead us to heaven, our promised land. So Moses was leading the people of God, Israel, which is a type, and Joseph the same. So was hid Jesus away and Mary because Jesus is had to, his life be spared because he came to earth for a purpose. Number three, Pharaoh's daughter adopted Moses, Joseph adopted Jesus, and Jesus adopted you and I. Number four, Moses went from the palace, from being a prince in the palace of Pharaoh, to becoming a pauper because he left it to follow the plan of God to deliver God's people. Jesus came from the palace of heaven, and he left the beauty and splendor of heaven to do the same thing, to deliver us. Number five, Moses was rejected frequently by his very own people. They complained against him. They grumbled against him. They bit the hand that fed them. Jesus also was despised and rejected of men by his own people, whom he also, the multitudes he had fed. Number six, Moses performed miraculous signs in the presence of Pharaoh. Jesus performed great miracles and signs in the presence of the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day. Number seven, both Moses and Jesus dealt with lepers. Number eight, both Moses and Jesus performed supernatural miracles. Number nine, both sent 12 men out. Moses sent 12 spies out, and Jesus sent forth 12 disciples. Both had outstretched arms. Moses stretched his arms out at the Red Sea, symbolizing the cross that Jesus died on, and Jesus also stretched his hands out on the cross and died. Both died, and their bodies were not found. Both fed large multitudes of people and ministered also to the multitudes. Both Moses and Jesus fasted for 40 days. Both were shepherds. Both were meek and humble. Number 16, both have a connection to the law. Moses wrote the law, and Jesus was the fulfillment of the law. Number 17, both spent time in the wilderness before entering their official calling on earth. Those are the ways that Moses is a type of Christ, and you can see that he is a foreshadow of things to come through Christ. So tonight we begin our wonderful study of Moses, the deliverer of Israel, and I have a great title for it. It's called Holy Moses. That's what we're going to title our series. So if anybody asks you what you're doing on life, on Monday night you're going to a study called Holy Moses, and they might ask you some questions. So welcome to our 12-week Bible study. Invite your friends. We're going to be studying the life and adventures of Moses, the deliverer of Israel. The reason that is important that we need to study this, and that because we have all needed God to deliver us out of our own personal bondages and from the enemy who has tried time and time again to hold us captive, and just like with Egypt, after Moses got them out, wants to recapture us. So this is why we need to know about Moses as our deliverer. Last week, we ended our study of Joseph's type of review quickly. Joseph was a type and foreshadow of Christ, Christ who protects, provides, you, I read through it, the Redeemer. Joseph was hated because of the Father's favor. Our Father favors us, and also particularly hated because of his dreams. The same reason we are hated. If you don't believe that, then try telling someone about the dreams and the plans that you feel God has for your life, the great big plans that God has for your life. And you might find out, like Joseph found out, that everyone is not going to celebrate your dreams and or believe in you or believe that God wants to use you. I always say that we don't pursue our dreams. Even though God has given us dreams, we instead pursue the giver of dreams, the one who is able to bring these dreams to pass. If you try to bring your own dreams to pass, it's just not going to work because, as we see in Joseph, God is operating on a different timeline than we are. If God tells me he's going to do something great in my life, I would like that to happen tomorrow night, by this time tomorrow night, within 24 hours. But God's timeline is different. Joseph had dreams, and they did not come to pass right away. He had to wait on God's timeline, which is different than our timeline. Ours is the McDonald's line, and we don't even like when that's long. So we're going to have to be a little bit patient with God, because he's got all the time in the world. And we can be patient with God, right? Because he's patient with us. So I can. So we see Joseph was only a handful of people God used in the Bible who, although they were not perfect, followed God from the time of his youth. And I love that because it's possible. That's a powerful lesson, by the way. I feel that every young person, all of our youth, should be taught about the people like Joseph and Mary, the mother of Christ, and Samuel, the prophet of God, and Daniel, who in his 80s served God, that you actually can choose God. Like Pastor Ken said it yesterday, I made a decision at 7 years old to serve God. Was he perfect all that time? Well, he did shoot a BB gun through my mom's couch, so no. And I wasn't perfect all that time either. But we loved God, right? We pursued God, we followed God, and here we are. And the same, so it's possible that that can be done. And many of you are the same way. You were taught of the Lord at a young age. And boy, is it wonderful to have godly parents that way. So we read of the parallels with Joseph and Christ, and tonight with Moses. And so we closed our study of Joseph in the book of Genesis. Let me read you Genesis 50:25. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you will carry up my bones from here. They actually buried him and embalmed him and put him in a coffin in Egypt. But later, we're going to see in this study of Moses how they take his bones back home as he himself had requested. And you know that I shared with you last week that many theologians try to explain why Joseph died before the brothers, and none of the explanations are good except that he fulfilled what he had to do in life. And just as Christ said on the cross, it is finished. When we fulfill what God has called us to do, then we can go home and not before. So don't get ahead of the game. So it was God who had called him home. So we begin our study tonight. This is so cool. I want to start with Exodus. I don't know if we have our, they'll be at random times, the bullet points up here. But what I really want to start with, the book of Exodus gives us a few facts about why there is going to be an Exodus. So I think tonight we should begin by talking about what exactly is an Exodus other than the name of the book from the Bible, okay? So the word Exodus actually means a mass departure. In Latin, it means simply to leave. In Greek, it means the road out. But the greatest translation of an Exodus of all that I've ever heard is the translation to escape. To escape. These people needed to escape bondage. The book of Exodus begins by reminding us of the names of the children of Jacob, Israel, the 12. The tribes of Israel came from these 12 sons of Jacob, Israel. This is so that we would understand how important these people were and how God multiplied them even in the harshest of situations that we're about to see that they're going to have to endure. No one escapes suffering in this life. No one. In this world, we have trouble. And like I said yesterday, sometimes we have trouble because we are a Christian. And I made the remark that this, and I stand by this, you can be going through hell because you've come against hell. So when you're doing things right, sometimes that attracts the enemy, that attracts the demons. So, but I want to tell you that God is for you, God is with you. I said yesterday, and you, most of you were here, that there's someone who believes in you, and it's God believes in you. But that's not who I'm talking about. The devil believes in you more than you can imagine, and that is, he feels threatened. But I want to tell you how much I know that God is for you and God is on your side. I seen a video recently. I actually wanted to have it tonight. It's about 14 minutes long, and we are going to see it at some point here. It's a powerful, powerful video. A Christian speaker, a very prominent Christian speaker, is talking about an event where there were thousands of people coming. He was one of the main attractions, if you want to call it that night. And as he began to speak, all the mics went dead, all the electricity. They could do nothing about it, and it was a huge, huge event. Basically, I'll give you the gist of it. God literally, because he killed all the sound system that night, he literally canceled that huge, huge event. People started going home. The guy wound up at a McDonald's across the street from where the event had begun. The man was about to commit suicide, and he said, "If God, if you're really who you say you are, if you really care about me, you will have that man." And he pointed. He was at a high building up by a window he was going to jump from. And he said, "You will have that man over there come and bring me McDonald's. And I want a hamburger, a fry, and a Coke." And that man had went in there, the speaker, because the event was canceled, went across the street to a McDonald's. The man wound up there. And when he came out, he took his McDonald's and he heard the Holy Spirit say, "Give it to the man. give it to that homeless man. He said, I'm not going to do that. And he just, the Holy Spirit kept at him, and he went and gave it. And of course, the man gave his life to Christ, and it's a great, great testimony. But I say that to tell you this, God cares about us as individuals. He literally canceled an event of thousands of people so that this speaker could go to one man. You think you're going to speak before thousands? Think again. I'm pulling the plug on this sound system, and I'm going to get you across the street. And if I can do that, I can minister to one man who's about to die. You're going to save a life tonight instead. You know, I think that's powerful, that God is interested in us in that way. And we're going to continue on. I just wanted to say that to you because God is interested in his people. And so we're going to read tonight. We know there's going to be a great exodus. There's going to be a great escape, a great exiting. But this, I want to set the tone for what's going to happen. We're going to read the why is this going to happen. Exodus 1:7. And the children of Israel were fruitful and they increased abundantly. By the way, this means they had such an excess and multiplied and waxed or grew exceedingly strong and mighty. And the land was literally filled with them, the people. And Jacob was the third patriarch of the Bible, and his children at this time are now settled in Egypt, and the Egypt and their children, children's children, and the Egyptians did not honor God. They did not serve God. They were idol worshipers, and God was blessing his people. And again, I say, everyone's not going to be happy when God is blessing you. Oh, I see you're blessed. I see you people are all blessed. How wonderful is that? I'm not blessed, but it's great you're blessed. That's not how it works at all. But God will bless his people who honor and serve them no matter where they're at. Because remember, they weren't at home. They were in Egypt. So now they're blessed and something begins to happen. The Egyptians begin to notice the blessing. You know, it's one thing if you're blessed and no one really gets it. But the Egyptians started noticing that they were greatly blessed. And they didn't like it. And verse 8 goes right into it, says, and there arose up a new king, a new Pharaoh in Egypt, and he did not know Joseph. Now, there are two things to note here. First, we have to ask, what exactly does this mean? Why does it matter who knows Joseph and who doesn't know Joseph? First, this doesn't mean that the king did not know about Joseph or know of Joseph. It's not like he had never heard the story of Joseph. He absolutely had. It means he did not know Joseph. He had no relationship with Joseph, as Joseph was before his time. That was just a story to him. And he did not care about the account of Joseph. And therefore, this new Pharaoh felt no obligation to Joseph or the people that were blessed of Israel. He felt no allegiance to the memory of Joseph. He was not an Egyptian. He did not care anything about Joseph or the children and children's children of Joseph. All he knew is that these people were getting stronger by the day, that they were multiplying by the day. And you know, 10 plus 10 is addition. That gives you 20. But 10 times 10 is a different story. And they were multiplying. God wasn't just adding to their numbers. He was multiplying them. And they were increasing and they were stronger. And they all began to feel threatened by this. Now, I want to begin by saying that the people of God were no threat to Egypt whatsoever. God's people are not a threat. And they never deserved to be mistreated or abused in any way. Exodus 1:9, and he said to his people, the Pharaoh, behold, the people of the children of Israel. See, he knew the story right here. He knew these are the people of the children of Israel. So we see that he knows who they are. He knows of them. They are more stronger than we are. In other words, there are people here, lots of them. They're not of us. They're stronger. They got things better. They're more blessed than us. And you can tell that he's threatened just by the statement, just because he's willing to start talking about it. Hey, guys, I got to tell you something. The people over there, they're much more blessed than we are. They're stronger than we are. And so I'm not sure about them. And that's what was going on here. Because sometimes when you see people that have more, suddenly you feel less. When you see people that are stronger, suddenly you feel weaker. You feel like I'm the lesser one. I'm the weaker one here. And it made him, Pharaoh, feel threatened, even though there was no reason. That's a vain imagination to feel threatened. Hey, I want to hang out with some blessed people. I don't feel threatened. Hang out. Exodus 1:10 says, come on. Come on. I need some people here to help me out. Let us deal wisely with them. Lest they multiply. They were already multiplying, by the way. And it come to pass that when there comes to be a war, they join with our enemies and they fight against us. And so get them up out of the land. This king had a lot of vain imagination, a lot of unfounded fears. And so he begins to make some decisions that were against the people of God. You don't want to do that. You don't want to mess with God's people. You don't want to hurt them, harm them, abuse them, accuse them, put them down, anything. And this Pharaoh didn't do his homework at all. He had these fears. 11 says, he set over the people of God taskmasters that he's taking away their freedom little by little, to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. Now, we read this, we can clearly see that Pharaoh did this intentionally. He intentionally decided to afflict God's people. I strongly suggest no one do that. To hurt the people of God, to abuse them and use them. It's not a good idea for any of us to do that either. Psalm 105, let me read your verse. Psalm 105:15, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophet no harm. Pharaoh didn't read the verse. He also didn't read the verse that says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. And Exodus 1:12 continues and says, but the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel, because they tried afflicting them. Let's put some pressure on them. Let's make them work really hard. Let's be mean to them. Let's not accept them anymore. Put them down. Let's put them in their place. But the more they put on them, the more they multiplied and grew. And that's happening in the world today. Can I submit to you our world today? In China and in so many of the third world countries where believers even today are being greatly persecuted, especially in China and North Korea and so many other places. Do you know that the more pressure and the more affliction and the more threats and the more abuse, the church is growing and multiplying. It's a principle of God. They're growing stronger. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And the Bible even says any tongue that rises up against you will be brought to open shame. God is exposing wickedness. I had a situation in my own personal life where someone tried to tell a lie, an out and out bold-faced lie. And God gave me evidence. Just handed me the evidence, took screenshots, everything. You know what? You don't get by. Every tongue that rises up against you will be brought to open shame. You don't come against God's people. But the Bible says that the Egyptians made the people work harder and harder. In fact, they made their lives bitter and miserable, and they oppressed the people of God. But they still, as I said, they still continue to multiply, because you can afflict the righteous, but God's going to get them out of it. And that's the plan with Moses, to get them out of it. Because here's the statement I want to make. The Lord sometimes delivers us from trouble. In other words, sometimes the car just goes right by us. We don't even know it was going to hit us. He delivered us from that situation. But sometimes trouble comes our way, and God has to deliver us out of the trouble. We're already in trouble, and so God delivers us out of trouble. Either way, he's still the deliverer, isn't he? Whether he delivers me from trouble or whether I'm in trouble and he gets me out of it, he's still the deliverer. Any way you want to slice it. Exodus 1:15 says, and the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shapura and the other Puah, and he said, when you do the office of the midwife, they were like the obstetrician to deliver the baby, to the Hebrew women. Now, I want to stop right here. The king of Egypt, Pharaoh, is now speaking to Hebrew midwives about Hebrew women. You're a Hebrew, and so you're going to be attending these women when they have their children. And when you see them on the birthing stools, if it is a male, you are to kill him. But if it is a female, then she shall live. This is partial birth abortion right here. That's what this is talking about. Kill them as they are being born. Do not let the young men live. It is wicked. It is evil. But when I read the king spoke to the Hebrew midwives, I'm like, what? You're speaking to their family. These are their relatives you're talking about. Kill your relatives. They're not going to do it. I'm going to talk about what they did here in a minute. Exodus 1:17 says, but the midwives feared God, they honored God, and they did not do as the king of Egypt had commanded them to do. That was a direct command, but they saved the male children alive. These were two young girls that risked their lives, and they disobeyed a direct command of a wicked king, Pharaoh, in Egypt. Do you know how difficult that had to be? Do you know how frightening that had to be? I am thankful that the word of God honors them in so much as their names are even mentioned. I would not like it if the word of God just said there were two particular midwives. I want to know who their names are. I want to meet them someday and say, what you did saved a nation. And so I am thankful that the word of God honors them, has included their names in this account. They're worthy of that honor. Shapira means beautiful, and Hua means radiant light. Beautiful, and they are beautiful, radiant light. This right here speaks to the evil of abortion and the spirit of death behind this. It's an abomination to the Lord that this king wanted them to commit murder. And the enemy is like this. The enemy's behind it, but he wants you to do it. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? Interesting question, right? Now, you could just say, because we don't kill people. You're male, right? Pharaoh, we don't kill people. You want your kids? But I can imagine these young girls. And by the way, I want to say this. This is the very first count in the Word of God, the first account where we see an act of civil disobedience in God's Word. God gave these women the courage to come against authority. And verse 19 says, and the midwife said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women they're not like you guys, the Egyptian women, and believe me, they weren't. For they are lively and are delivered before the midwives come into them. Now, every woman delivers her child differently. Some labors are long, some labors are not so long. No certain people group are faster than one another. This is a very individual thing. So here is the question. They clearly lied. Was it okay for them to lie? Was it okay for Rahab to lie? And is it okay for you to lie? I'm going to explain this. Actually, that right there is a trick question. The real question is not, is it okay for them to lie? The real question is, would it be okay for them to kill an innocent child, a baby? That's the real question. No. And was it okay with God for them to lie? Yes. And here's the verse, verse 20. Therefore, God dealt very well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. God was okay with that. You know why? Because he wasn't okay with the killing of innocent children, shedding innocent blood, that he's our creator. This was not a lying spirit. This was not an evil deed. This was an act of courage that saved innocent children's lives. In fact, God was more than, if you think this verse here isn't enough, that God dealt well with the midwives and the people multiplied and waxed greatly, if you think that's not enough, that maybe God still wasn't okay with it, there's more. I have more, okay? Verse 21, and it came to pass, in case you think God wasn't good, God wasn't okay with them lying. And verse 21 says, and it came to pass, because the midwives honored God, not because they lied. God can overlook that lie. He can forgive that lie, okay? When it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, he gave them houses. He blessed them because they did this. I'm going to say that if God looked down at them as you're sinners, you told a lie, I could have done something super. No. They did the best they could in this situation in speaking with Pharaoh, in showing courage, in showing wisdom. And the Bible says they feared the Lord. They honored God. Pharaoh's response then was to begin to tell everyone to kill the male children by throwing them into the river. You are to now drown the children. Chapter 2 says, and there went a man of the house of Levi, and he took a wife, a daughter of Levi. By the way, the wife is Jochebed, and the man, the husband, is Amram. Both were from the tribe of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him for 3 months. So we have a period of time here. And I want you to note something. In the translation of this, as you study this, it's not that some translations say she saw that he was a beautiful child. Every child to their mom is beautiful, correct? So is this unusual that she should say? That's not what it means, though. It doesn't mean that he was a beautiful child. Some babies are, in fact, kind of, well, you know. But it means that she noticed something unusual about him. Immediately, as she gazed upon him, she didn't think he's just a beautiful baby. He's a good-looking kid. He's her kid, of course. She felt it. She seen it. It's like God pointed out to her. She noticed something different about him. But so she decided that she was going to do something very interesting. She decided to build an ark, one of three in the Bible. This is a small ark, and this is symbolizing God's divine protection. First, we have Noah's ark, which protects an entire family. We have the ark of Moses, which is sparing Moses so that he could, delivering Moses so he could deliver God's people, and the Ark of Covenant, which was actually built by Moses and represents God's protection of all of us. The provision was in the Ark, the manna, the rod of Aaron, representing the cross, and the Ten Commandments, representing the law. So we have three Arks, the Ark of Moses, the Ark of the Covenant, or the Ark of Testimony, and the Ark that Noah built. The sister of Miriam is standing nearby as Jochebed places this little ark with pitch that she fixes up that floats in the water. She's standing nearby. And the daughter of Pharaoh comes down to wash herself and bathe in the river with her maids. They were walking along the riverside, and she saw the ark among the flags, and she sent her maids to get it. Go get that little basket. And when she had opened it, she saw this baby. And Moses was crying. Moses was crying. To me, that's prophetic. She had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew children. Now, this is interesting for a lot of reasons. First, because the girl was the daughter of Pharaoh, the one who had issued a decree to murder all the baby boys of the Hebrews and throw them in the river. She is now at the river. The babies are supposed to be killed and drowned in the river. And there's no doubt that this girl knew what was going on because she said, this is one of the Hebrew children. I thought that was extremely interesting. And Jochebed had made that ark, and Moses was not destined to die in the river. He was destined to float on the river in the ark, symbolizing God's divine protection. Do you know that God saves us? He saves us. He saved us from birth. He has saved us from birth because our purpose is to bring salvation to other people. That's why he saved us. And the same river that drowned some, others will float on, just like the Ark of Noah. God will use anyone he can. And in this story, he used males, he used females, he used a mother, being a mother, a good mother, calling in life. Straight up calling in life because of this child. There's so much here. God can even use, we're going to see in this story, your enemies. He can use your enemies. He can actually use the people that are against you. And we're going to see this because we are going to see in the future here that Moses is going to live in the palace throughout a portion of his life. And Pharaoh has no clue about this, but Pharaoh is going to become his adopted grandfather, and he is going to pay first the mother of Moses to care for him during his very young years, and then he is going to himself, Pharaoh, provide care for Moses, pay for his education. Moses will then learn the ways of Egypt and how things are done in Egypt. And then Moses is going to be raised up by God as a type of Christ to confront Pharaoh, a type of the enemy, and save the people of Israel from Pharaoh. But isn't it interesting how God does things? To me, this is so interesting. We're going to ask our musicians to come now. But this is so interesting how God can use everything that goes on in your life. Things that happen that you think, why? Why did that happen? Jochebed, in some way, had to give up her child. Isn't that like Mary? To give up this child because he was going to become a deliverer and deliver God's people. God raised him up for a divine purpose. That is why we are here on earth. That is why God has been with us since the time we were born. I mean, there's so many things that could have happened to us that did not happen to us, but God has saved us. And even today, he still has a plan. He still has a plan for you to save more people. No matter what's come against you, God still desires to use you. This is just a foundation tonight of this. Some of this stuff in the future is going to be very, very funny. Very funny. But God has such a sense of humor, and he is such a powerful God.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.